This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzer. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to the happy story of watching the West, which is Las Vegas. Jeff, the Sphere, I'm charmed by it. Never been there, haven't seen it, just to talk about it. And I love the fact that the Sphere watched every moment of the Formula One race, zipping by, other people going to sleep, distracted, buying popsicles, but not Sphere, stayed right on it, the audience of one that matters. The Sphere looks fabulous every picture I take. You tell me, however, the jury is still out, it's mixed. What is the thinking?
So the jury is still out. It's mixed in two ways. One, in terms of if you're a neighbor of the Sphere, this building, which is immense and very bright, it's covered with video panels, light panels that create video images. So if you're within eyeshot of it, you're going to see it, and certainly at night. And it's really very striking, but very, very bright. And recent photos from nearby neighborhoods show that, you know, at night it can be really quite a distraction, lighting up the whole neighborhood in a way that, you know, is really beyond what you expect with streetlights at night. And it can be distracting if you're in the neighborhood and playing golf, like people playing on the golf course adjacent to it have sometimes been distracted, but they laugh it off. It's kind of funny because the Sphere would actually make faces at the golfers as they try to make par. But money-wise, it's still out. This is something that cost more than $2 billion, about $2.3 billion to create and build. And it was sold out throughout its residency of, you know, U2's concerts there, which end in March. And so that's been a big financial boon for them. But for the other days when U2 isn't there and it becomes just a massive movie theater, they're not able to fill the thousands of seats with people willing to pay substantial amounts of money for a movie ticket, essentially. So it's the in-between times that they're worried about. They're saying, sure, we're going to make millions with U2, but what about the downtime? So really, they don't have a peg yet on how successful this will be financially or how much of a ruin it could be for the whole effort.
The puzzle here, Jeff, this would have been easy to project beforehand. Is it the pandemic? Is it the recovery? But Vegas is doing very well. Did they imagine an audience would be bigger than the one they're getting? Every venue has downtimes.
That's right. I think part of it is not enough thought was put into about how they would fill the downtimes. The movies that they're showing in there right now are supposed to be stunning, that I've heard about. Very, you know, nature movies in this wide, you know, wide spectrum theater. I mean, just very enveloping, and you know, you're enmeshed in whatever's going on the screen. However, you know, that's not enough to keep people there, especially in Vegas. If you ask most people when they're in Vegas, do you want to gamble some more, hang out by the pool some more, or do you want to go to a movie? Most people say, I'll save the movie when I'm trying to go to sleep at night in my room. I'll watch it on our TV. Most people in Vegas aren't there for a movie. They're there for gambling or an event or some sort of show. They're not there to watch a movie.
Vegas also has a celebration. 118 years in downtown Las Vegas. Who knew? Something was 118 years in the middle of Vegas. What I have is pictures from 1910 Clark County. It's a desert, and there's a building in the far distance, and tumbleweed comes by. But the oldest hotel in downtown Las Vegas celebrating another year, the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino, 118th birthday on Saturday. The property received a big congratulations. The fan favorite casino, writes the copy, witnessed the birth of Las Vegas after its opening in 1906, continues to leave its mark in the valley. Jeff, 1906 in Las Vegas, it would have been hot, right? Horses, hot, humidity, gasping for air, I'm guessing.
That's right. You know, room and board then in 1906 was $1 per day at this hotel, which when it first opened, the Golden Gate was originally known as the Hotel Nevada. But they advertised themselves as first class. They said, we have electric lighting and ventilation and steam heat radiators for the cold days and nights. So, you know, it was very modern for that time. But as you point out, it was very much the horse and buggy days still. As you look back at photos in those first few years, there weren't any cars to be seen. There weren't any high-speed railroads going in there. There weren't any jets being flown in by celebrities. It was a dusty Western town. And as they said, there were poker chips, whiskey, and wild women everywhere.
My memory of the legend of Las Vegas is that it was a stop for airplanes to refuel flying east to west. Yes, flying into California. Is that legend accurate, that somebody had a genius idea, hey, the planes are stopping here, we can put up a casino?
Eventually, yes. As air travel became more important and more frequent, that was a place that they could stop. But it had long been a place for truckers to stop. And before that, you know, wagon trains came through and cattle drives. It was a cowboy outpost for many decades before really the internal combustion engine took hold. But then it became a stop, a place you would go before you came to California on the way out. And from there, they said, hey, there's a great place we can set up some casinos. And it interested people with money, especially organized crime folks and people from Hollywood. So it worked out for Vegas's betterment.
You remind me of that Twilight Zone episode that always freaked me out about the big airline coming into New York, and they experience strange turbulence as they're getting ready to land at LaGuardia or Kennedy. No, it's LaGuardia. And when they descend, they can't get a radio tower. You know, this is 654 heavy calling LaGuardia, and there's no answer. So they go down below the clouds, and they see that it's not the New York they're trying to reach. It's the New York. They can see the New York, the World's Fair down there. And they finally get a call back from the airfield. It's not LaGuardia. It's some other name. And we don't know what you are, but you can land here. Come on in. And the cabin and the crew all decide, no, we'll try to get into our real time. We don't want to land in 1939. So they go back up into the turbulence, and when they come down, they see dinosaurs down on Manhattan. That's what you just reminded me of, Jeff. When you're flying over Las Vegas, you go through that turbulence, and you can see the dinosaurs hanging down around where the casinos will be.
Vegas has been such an interesting story because a lot of things that were going on there happened behind the curve that was already taking place in L.A. and some other places in the West. I mean, it wasn't until 1925 that Fremont Street, which is really the first big main street in Vegas, was even paved. And they didn't get their first outdoor electric signs until 1927. And there were places certainly in New York and Los Angeles that already had electric signs outside of their hotels and businesses. But one of the other things that's interesting is, you know, gambling wasn't really legal in Nevada until 1931, or it wasn't legal again. So it was 1931 that Vegas really began to take off again. Gambling and alcohol seemed to go very well together. But it was a very interesting time. And this actual site really started to get going again in 1955, even though there had been things that were built there and they've had various businesses over the years. But it was really 1955, it appears, that things really began to take off for the Golden Gate Casino.
Sands Hotel, the Rat Pack, 59-60. Those were the days. To San Francisco, we've had enough good news. We've got to do some bumpy news. The Hilton, what's happened, Jeff?
The Hilton has, which is one of the big hotels in town, has defaulted. So what you have is this 544 room facility where, you know, it's owes $97 million in loan payments, I believe. And this is a continuing sign of trouble in San Francisco, not just for this hotel, but it's the whole city is seeing, you know, businesses leaving, businesses shutting their doors forever. It's another sad sign for the city. This is one of several big businesses that have closed in town. The Disney store closed. Park 55, which was another great hotel in the area, has had problems. Nordstrom, which was, you know, anchor store there, a great store in the Westfield Mall Center, they pulled out. I mean, I could go through a list. It would take us a whole show to go through them all. But this is just one more sign that San Francisco is in a very bad way.
From San Francisco, we go to Disney. We're big Disney fans, huge Disney fans. This is Yodeler Bliss, Deckhand Bliss, Engineer Bliss. However, Disney's branding has struggled. This isn't us talking. This is the news, the Hollywood news. All of the executives, everybody agrees that the branding is off. They're meaning to correct it. But NFT, Jeff. NFT, this is not correcting the brand. This is plunging into crypto gambling.
Yeah, and it's not being well received by Disney fans or Star Wars fans or Pixar fans and any of the people that are, you know, Disney fans or the various subsets underneath it have said, this is ridiculous. This is a grift. You're just trying to pull more money from us. And a lot of people on the financial side are saying, what are you doing? The whole thing with the NFT market last year seemed to crash, and most of the tokens were rendered worthless. Why are you doing this? So a lot of people are thinking, gosh, this is just Disney trying one more desperate way to get some money to boost their stock. And I think most people are thinking this isn't going to work.
And ESPN, the last conversation we had worried about ESPN because there was a sports show that was being crude. And now ESPN is identified for having been fraudulent for many years. What'd they do?
They submitted names or had names put on Emmy Awards that didn't belong to them. So they've now returned 37 Emmys to the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. And this is considered a big black eye, not just for the PR and the PR side of things, but in the industry, because it's almost feeling like cheating. People are saying they didn't deserve awards. They didn't even get the awards and you put your names on them. So there's a lot of unhappiness among the people who are associated with the Academy throughout the TV and film industry. And of course, this is one more bit of embarrassment for ESPN and Disney.
Now, Bob Iger said when he came back that he was considering all possibilities to right the ship, to rebrand accordingly. And what is rebranding? For me, it's Bambi. You own Bambi. Jeff, is there a better property than Bambi? I'm unaware of it. I mean, the fire thumper, Bambi. They own Bambi. But they get in branding trouble, and Bob Iger says sensibly, we'll look at selling ESPN. We'll look at selling ABC. All off-brand, all of them. Cheating at ESPN has no place in Bambi's universe. Can we agree to that, Jeff? That's not for families. And NFT.
I think it's fair to say that Walt Disney would be rolling over in his grave right now if he knew about this. That's
so
for sure.
Move ESPN on out. Move ABC on out. That's a television network. That's not Bambi. Bambi does. Let ABC, whoever owns it, pay you a fortune to show Bambi. Make your money with your IP.
They've really spread themselves out so thin, you know, trying to get this market and get this platform and get this audience. And when they've done that, they've strayed from the people, from the audience, from the consumers that have made them who they are. And so now they're not only distancing themselves from the people that love them so much, but they're coming off poorly with the others because they either don't know how to do that work, or they're spread too thin on it, or you know they have people working for them that are less than Disney quality people. So it's really the decisions made, you know, prior to Iger coming back, I think, have led up to this. But they've got to right this ship quickly, I think, or else they're going to be in for more trouble.
You just gave me the idea where they're going, Jeff. It's going to be a Disney space station. That's how far off brand they are. You know, fly with us, and they'll link up with Bezos or something like that, and you get to spend time in the Disney space station. My goodness. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Congratulations, 118 years to the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino. What was the original name, Jeff?
The original name was the Hotel Nevada.
Hotel Nevada. I'm John Batchelor.